What is your aim, your goal, your purpose for Christian living? Why are you even here this morning? Maybe you're asking that question. Why am I here? It's a good question. Is there some purpose behind it all? I ask these questions again because they are important questions for each one of us. Last week we saw that Paul's aim, given to us in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 9, his aim was that he should not be disqualified from the race of life. He says, "I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." He said he didn't want to get to the end of his Christian life and find that he was disqualified from the race and that heaven was not an option, that the promised land was out of the question. He didn't want that to happen. And so Paul says that he runs with purpose. He runs with certainty, preparing himself for heaven and for glory, which is to come. You'll notice that in this particular text, verse 26, "Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air." You'll notice that Paul characterizes the Christian life as a race, as a boxing match. I don't know, maybe some of you watched the World Cup track meet yesterday on television, beamed by satellite from France. Tremendous races. Paul likens the Christian life to a race. And I don't think he has in mind the 100-yard dash. I really don't. I think he has in mind a marathon. There's quite a difference between a 100-yard dash and a marathon. 10 seconds. And a 100-yard dash is over. Certainly the Christian life is not like that. It is more like a marathon. And those who run in the marathon, which is just over 26 miles, make it their aim in large measure to finish the race. Not a lot of those people go into those races with the objective of winning. They just enter that race with the objective of finishing the race, because it is a strenuous thing to run 26 miles or better. And that's how the Christian life is. We need to finish the race. And this is what Paul is talking about. The Christian life is not easy. It's difficult. And not everyone finishes, folks. Another race that has become popular is the triathlon. It is sometimes called the Ironman, involving swimming and running and bicycling. And it's a tough race. And some of those who enter that race enter it just with the objective of finishing. Again, you see, this is what the Christian life is all about. The objective is to finish the race. Boxing. Interesting that the Apostle Paul should speak of the Christian life as a boxing match. How many of you have ever watched a boxing match? I'm sure you have. It's not easy, is it? It's a tough one-on-one competition. At West Point, every cadet had to take boxing. I used to hate boxing. Even though we wore headgear and boxing gloves that were oversized, they were, you know, big padded gloves. I used to hate boxing because I would inevitably get decked. And that's the truth. I didn't like it. I would much rather have gone out in hand-to-hand combat than get in a boxing match in the ring. It's amazing. Not everyone does finish a boxing match. There are knockouts. There are technical knockouts, and there are also disqualifications. Those fellows that persist with the rabbit punches and the jabs to the kidneys and with those hits below the belt, If they persist in that, they are disqualified, you see, from the match. And there's no chance of finishing. You see, the objective that Paul is laying before us here is to finish. To finish. And I want to say something to you at this stage. That if you have embarked upon the Christian life as an easy way to address life, you're mistaken. Because again, the Christian life is not easy. It is like a marathon or a boxing match. And if you don't have the goal out there before you, if you don't have the aim out there of reaching the goal, and you are uncertain about the path that you are taking, the likelihood is that you will not finish the race. You're in trouble. And Paul addresses that kind of situation before us this morning. Look again at our text. He says, "Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air." He says, "I have an aim." He says, "I'm not uncertain. I'm not in this race to go about it in an aimless fashion," as the New International Version says. The word that Paul uses here, which is translated in the New American Standard Version, not without aim, is kind of an interesting word. It reminds me of a movie, an old black and white movie, which starred Yul Brynner. And the movie was about a land which was called Delos. D-E-L-O-S. That was the name of the land. And it was a land in which there were androids. Now, if you watch Star Trek, The Next Generation, if you're a Star Trek Trekkie, you know what an android is. An android is a machine that looks exactly like a human being. You can't tell the difference until you get inside. And this movie was about a place where there were a lot of these androids, and you didn't know for certain to whom you were speaking, whether or not you were speaking to a real person, or whether or not you were speaking to one of these androids. It was kind of a play on words, because the word delos is a Greek word which means certain, certainty. But you were always uncertain in that land. Well, it's the same concept that Paul is using in this particular text. He says, "I'm not uncertain. I run with certainty. I have a goal which is before me. I am not without aim. I am not without purpose." You know, there's too many people in this world today who lack certainty, who lack purpose in life. And if you're here this morning and you lack that kind of certainty and purpose, Paul is saying that the danger is simply this, that you won't finish the race. That you'll peter out. You won't finish. And so, I wonder again, what is our purpose for being here this morning? Think about it for a moment. Are we just here? Is it just an end in itself? We come at 11 o'clock. At about 10 after 11, we end the singing of the first psalm and we read the scriptures, and about quarter after 11, the offering comes and we go through this routine, and about 11:30, that guy stands up there and starts preaching. And hopefully he's finished when the big hand reaches 12. And then we go home. Is it just an end in itself? Is that why we're here? Are we just going through the motions? You know, we need to examine that a little. Because what we're doing is not an end in itself. When we gather for class on a Lord's Day morning, it's not an end in itself. When we have vacation Bible school or we have dinners, they're not ends in themselves. You see, Paul says, I therefore run in such a way as not without aim. We need to understand that when we come as God's people and sit under the teaching of the Word of God, when we pray together, when we sing together, all of life is wrapped up in what we're doing, that we are beginning to learn and we are being energized for life itself. What we do is not an end in itself. Are we just beating the air as we come together? Paul says, I therefore run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. You know, a boxer who enters the ring and is in a defensive posture only winds up beating the air. And I think that's one of the things Paul's talking about here. Being in a defensive posture only. Not being offensive in the positive sense of addressing the cares and the concerns of the world. Sometimes the church gets in an defensive posture. We want to maintain what we have. That's our purpose for being, is simply to maintain what we have. But again, the boxer who is in a defensive posture will do one thing, wind up losing the match. We can't afford that. Jesus puts it this way. He says, those who seek to save their own lives will lose them. You see, we need to go on and finish the course. Let's look at our text again. What does Paul say that his aim really is? I therefore run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. Well, Paul tells us a couple of things in the verses which precede and follow. He talks about his aim in a positive way and in a negative way. Look at verse 24. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath or crown, but we an imperishable. Here's the positive side. Paul says, I want to reach glory. I want to reach heaven. This is my goal. This is my aim. Is that where you're headed? Is it? On the negative side, Paul says, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. He says, I don't want to be disqualified. I need to finish this race, the Christian life, so that I will reach my appointed end in glory and not be disqualified. But what spurs Paul on? That's another question. What does spur Paul on? You see, we've got a couple of things here. On one side, we've got these goals towards which Paul is reaching. He's aiming for heaven. He's aiming for glory. And he does not want to be disqualified. But he doesn't stop there. He says, these... And then underneath that overarching purpose, we have goals towards which we work. And as we attain those goals, the overarching purpose comes into view. And Paul sets before us this same sort of construction. People in management tell us that this is how it ought to be, that an organization needs an overarching purpose, and then goals need to be set. And as we reach those goals, we can see the purpose, the overarching purpose, come into play. Well, the context tells us the overarching purpose here, and I think it's real interesting. Let's look at verses 1 through 6 in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness." Now think about what's taking place here with the Old Testament people of God to whom the Apostle Paul is pointing. He says of those Old Testament people of God that they were a baptized people. They weren't baptized like you were. They were baptized in the sea and in the cloud, into Moses. And that's kind of strange language for us. But it means that they were part of a great organization in the wilderness. They were part of the Old Testament church of God. They were a baptized people. They were part of the visible body of Christ. Well, that's where you are. I think most of you in this room this morning have been baptized. You've been brought into the visible body of Christ by way of that baptism. This is where you are. Amazing. What else does Paul say? Paul says these Old Testament people of God were fed by Christ. He says they all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. He says these Old Testament people were fed by Christ. That's exactly where you are. Week by week we gather together to do what? To look at God's Word. And to be fed by Christ. Wow. Hopefully, this is exactly what's taking place right now. We are being fed by Christ. But look at verse 5. "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness." You know what was wrong with these people? They did not make it their aim to please God. Oh yes, they were baptized people. They were part of the church. They were fed by Christ. They didn't make it their aim to please God. And what happened? They were disqualified, Paul says. They were laid low in the wilderness. You see, folks, the question why we're here is terribly important. Because you can be a baptized member of the church. Fine, I'm glad. In fact, I encourage people. I think it's the right thing to do for men and women to align themselves with the body of Christ through baptism. It's the right thing to do. And it's the right thing to do to come as God's people and be fed by Christ. But if we do not make it our aim to please God, we are just like the Old Testament people in the wilderness.
And so, you see, the overarching purpose that Paul sets before us is to please God. Why are we here this morning? Well, one of the great reasons we are here this morning, why we study the Word of God, is so that we can learn from the Scriptures and from God Himself how to please Him. And how to make it our aim to please the living God. Now, we're not always going to succeed. I don't think we will. And that's why we come. We come confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness and studying God's Word and going forward to learn how to please the Lord. I really believe that this is one of the things that was underneath it all as far as the Apostle Paul. What did he want? He looked at God, his Father, and he said, "Lord, I want to please you." He was like a child who comes before his mom and dad, and in that child's heart, there's just that hungering and that yearning just to please mom and dad, to do what's right for them. And that's the way it was with the Apostle Paul. And so he says, "I therefore run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. No, I want to go forward. And I want to please you, Lord. I want to do what's right for you and be pleasing to you." Is that how it is in your life this morning? Is that why you're here? Because you want to please the Lord? You are more interested in what He wants than in what you want. I've got to point the finger at myself, don't I? I really do. That should be our perspective. And when that's our perspective, we can take upon our lips the words of Paul. "I run in such a way as not without aim. I'm not beating the air." But now we have to answer a critical question. How can I please God? I want you to turn to another text for that answer. It comes to us in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's very clear. In Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read the first few verses. Here's the way the Scripture is set before us. And it's a wonderful way. Hebrews 11. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." How do we please God? We come to Him in faith, believing Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so, you must believe in and trust the God of the Bible. You must trust and follow the Word of God in the Bible. You must believe Him. Yes, you must repent of sin, turn away from that which is evil, and trust, believe in, trust in Jesus Christ as the only adequate payment for sin. And you must live your life
all of your life in faith under the Lordship of Christ, trusting Him. It's not going to be easy. God never said that the path will be plain and easy. This is why Paul likens the Christian life to a marathon and to a boxing match. Because it's not necessarily easy. But we're called upon to be faithful to God in the midst of it. And so, you see, your overarching purpose should be to learn to please God, living under His guidance in faith. You know, I really believe that when you do this, and when I do this, all the rest of life will begin to come into perspective. And a big help in this happening for you and for me is to take the words of the Apostle Paul that he gives us this morning. 1 Corinthians 9:26 again. He says, "Therefore I run." Yes, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. Oh, I trust You, Lord. And I want to follow You. And I commit myself to You. And I'll trust You. And in that way, hopefully, in my life, please You. That's my aim. That's my purpose. That's my goal. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're in a race. And some of us feel that we're in a boxing match and in a wrestling match. We wish the bell would sound and the round would end so that we can get out of the ring. Oh God, put perspective on our lives. Help us take our eyes off of ourselves and place them upon You. Become more God-centered in all of our thinking and feeling. Help us to work, O God, by faith in You, to please You rather than pleasing ourselves. And Father, I pray that this would be the case for each individual and family here this morning, so that new perspective would be placed upon our lives, and that we would go forward with courage, not uncertainly, but with courage. Live the life that You've given us. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.